Everybody said, I hope you focused on those words this morning. The message this morning is a Peace Corps for Jesus. You know, the first computer traces itself all the way back to Adam and Eve. And surprisingly enough, it's called an Apple. It doesn't have much memory, only one byte. Then everything crashed. Everything crashed. And since then, there has been no peace. Until there came the Prince of Peace. And when Jesus came to bring peace, His peace. A peace that the world cannot give, but a peace that only He is the author of. Isaiah said He'll be called the Prince of Peace. Now, if you and I are going to function in this Peace Corps for Jesus, we got to recognize this fact. We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. For the darkness will turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. For Christ's great kingdom has come to earth, a kingdom of peace and light. A kingdom of peace. The Peace Corps was founded by John F. Kennedy in 1981. It's overseen and runs under the U.S. government. It is completely made up of volunteers. These volunteers are to go into other parts of the world, other countries, for many purposes, but number one, they go there to assist that country in any way, shape, or form, whatever it might be, agriculture, technology, whatever that might be that they're gifted with. It is indeed as they go and as they go into these other countries, as they go, it's to educate them, it's to inform them of the culture of the United States. It's to help them to understand our culture. But their basic purpose as they go there, is to promote friendship and peace between that country and ours. Jesus formed His Peace Corps on the day of Pentecost. It started with 12 men called apostles. Later came 3,000 that were baptized, and they all began the process because God had added them all together to the church, to the kingdom of God. They are all volunteers. You're all volunteers when you come into the kingdom of God. And as you and I come into the kingdom of God, we have a purpose. The purpose is very clear as volunteers. It's to educate people. It's to teach them. Teach them concerning, if you will, the life and the beliefs and the fundamental principles that belongs to the kingdom of God. That you and I live, experience, share day by day, day by day. It also purposes to promote peace on earth, goodwill to men. That is indeed because Jesus is the head of the Peace Corps. He is the Prince of Peace. And as far as this preacher is concerned, there will be no peace on earth until everybody bows the knees and humbles themselves to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. But Jesus came, and there is peace in our individual lives, I pray, this morning. And we know that this element of peace is fundamentally because the kingdom, the church, is under the direction, it is governed by the person of the Holy Spirit. That direction comes from God Himself because He ultimately is the authority over the aspect of those who volunteer. Jesus being the head over all things to the church, which is His body, we know we're to function under His direction, under His headship, and give ourselves fully to the aspect of preaching peace on earth, goodwill to all men. The word peace fundamentally means to bind together, to bring that which is separate and not to unreconciled, whatever you may want to consider, but bind it. Bind it, like God brought Adam and Eve together And God joined them, bound them together, that they might become one flesh as husband and wife. That in itself, binding together, gives me a fascinating aspect of who I am as a member of the Peace Corps. I know that my purpose, and my purpose is to preach Him and Him only, who is the source of all peace. We are to preach Jesus, and we're to preach Him crucified, and that He shed His blood, and that He is our peace, and His blood is the only means for us to be and have peace in the world today. Isaiah, again, the aspects of that is very clear. But look at our text this morning, if you will, with me together, with a little help from the background back there. It says that in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off were brought, you were bound together near by what? The blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ that binds every nation, all peoples. It doesn't matter who you and what people you are from, China, India. The only way this world is going to be bound back together and become one is that they all come under the power of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the source of peace. What is? The blood of Jesus, right? For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Remember the dividing wall in Germany? You had to tear it down, right? There was a separate aspect. Well, the old covenant, the law itself, was a wall that separated the Gentiles and the Jews. In order for them to come to be one, Jesus knew, and Jesus' purpose for coming was to live the law to its minutest dot and tittle and to fulfill it so He could take it in His fleshly body and nail it to a cross and take it out of the way. That's exactly what He did. That's exactly what He accomplished. He tore down the barrier that was indeed and abolished it in His flesh, that which brought hate and enmity. Paul says that the law was against us as an administrator of death. It had to be taken out of the way in order for all people from all over the world to become one. That doesn't mean that the principles of the law were taken away. It means the law as a formula of God's purpose and will. Because what happens now? If Jesus fulfilled the law, He now is the law. We don't follow a table of stone. We follow a living example of the law. We follow Jesus. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to keep the law. Does that make sense? Huh? And ultimately, love is what fulfills the law, right? And so God, and out of His love, allowed His Son to come. Jesus lived the law, every aspect of it. He never sinned. And so He took the law in His flesh to the cross, nailed it there, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make two into one new man. That we all would become one. One body of people under His headship, functioning together in this element of Peace Corps that God's Son created by being the Prince of Peace. He established peace that He might bind, reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the hatred, the enmity that was a result of the law. He came and preached peace to those who are far away, the Gentiles, peace to those who are near, the Jews, for through Him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Through Him. That's why every person, when they are immersed, they're baptized into Christ. Because Jesus is the one who reconciled. We have to go through Him to be bound back to God. To be reconciled to God. You know what the Bible teaches? Huh? Yeah, it does. And every one of you here today, if you haven't come through Christ, you're not reconciled to God. You're not going to come through your goodness. You're not going to come by being a good neighbor. You can only come to God by being washed in the blood of the Lamb, being washed in His blood, forgiven of your sin, baptized into Christ, and then you have access to the Father. And if every one of us, I don't care, Jew or Gentile, Indian, doesn't matter, Japan, China, you name it, God's purpose was that all nations would become one. We become one body under one Peace Corps, one head, whose name is Jesus Christ. That was God's purpose for sending Jesus. He wanted to break down the barrier that would let all nations and all tribes and all people to become a part of this great one body called the church, which you and I are a member of. And I volunteered. You did too. But did you know what you volunteered to? Because the first thing all of us were to have been has been discipled. We're supposed to have been educated to the purpose of the kingdom. Right? We're supposed to have been educated and taught what our lifestyle. We're supposed to be living our lives like Jesus, right? We're supposed to love our neighbor, love God with our whole being. We've been taught. That is all a part of it. But then we've been commissioned and told to go into all the world and make disciples, right? Go into every nation. What? Teach them. Show them. Educate them. Educate them about what? The peace. The peacemaker. He who is ahead and who is the one who has brought peace into the world. Only Jesus can do that. And as people come into relationship with Jesus and they become at peace with God, they can then be at peace with one another. You understand what I just said? Okay? So the purpose and the aspects of that is powerful as far as this preacher is concerned. We are and we have a message of peace. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Because you and I are indeed a part of an unbelievable, powerful Peace Corps. Okay? In John 14:27, Jesus declares, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." That is the message of God. God's message to the world is a message of peace. Peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. So when Peter, who was commissioned by God's son Jesus to go to the Gentiles, Cornelius' household, and Peter being and seeing all that God had done and was doing and the miraculous movement of God upon the household of Cornelius, this is what he says. This is what he saw. In Acts 10:34-36, Peter says, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I must certainly understand now that God is not a respecter and does not show partiality to no one." No one. "But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to come to him, to be reconciled to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." What is the message that God said? Preaching what? Peace. Through whom? Jesus, the Christ, who is Lord of all. Has not God exalted him and made him to be both Lord and Christ? Paul, again, from the Colossian letter, shows exactly the same basic concept of the Ephesian letter. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, he says again, what is the divine purpose of God? Paul says these words, "For it was the Father's good pleasure." It was God's good pleasure for all the fullness, all of the deity, all of God himself to dwell in the person of Jesus. And through him, that is Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, bind back to himself, through Jesus, having made peace through the cross. Having made peace through the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or in heaven. You mean there needs to be peace in heaven? And God has made peace because God poured out on Jesus Christ all of your iniquities and mine. God poured all of his wrath out in his son. God opened the door to every nation and people and tribe and tongue that if they would come through his son, they can be reconciled and bound back to him. But the important thing about that is this peace does not just bind you back to God. It binds us back to one another. We all become a part of a spiritual, heavenly family. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white. Doesn't matter where and where you come from, what language you speak. If you're in Christ, we are brothers and sisters. We are members of the family of God, and we're going to spend eternity together. And as brothers and sisters, we are to be living in peace with one another. Because if you and I, you especially in my life, you, all of us in the gift, you can't give to someone else that which you do not have. You understand what I just said? And if you're not at peace with yourself, you can't help people to become at peace with themselves. All right? If you're not at peace with God, can you lead someone else to be at peace with God? I don't think so. If you don't, and you're not possessed by the peace of God, then you probably are not a member and functioning properly in God's Peace Corps. God needs volunteers who are willing to come and bring themselves under the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and be at peace not only with God, with themselves, and with other people. With other people. The war that's going on, the spiritual warfare going on in the world, that's got to end with me. It's got to end with me. It's got to end with me. Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God." What? Blessed. Happy are the peacemakers. What? They will be God's children. Amen? He meant what he said. He meant what he said. The aspects of that is powerful. In Colossians 3:15, Paul writes to the church at Colossae and says these words, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you are called, and be thankful." What are we called to do? Is let the peace of Christ umpire, control, call the balls and strike of my emotions, my feelings, my thinking. Jesus Christ is the peacemaker, and we are to let him be the umpire, the referee that calls and controls my heart. That's an athletic term, rule. I don't know if they had baseball umpires, but they certainly have referees in the Colosseums. And Paul always, a lot of times, will use athletic terms. And here's an athletic term where he's simply saying, let Jesus' peace be that which controls your heart. You play by the rule book. Amen? You play by the rule book. And this is the rule book for God's Peace Corps. The rules is given here is that it is. So peace then is the message of us Peace Corps today. That's our message. That peace is in Jesus Christ, and we're the priest. And we are to live it in such a way as the body of Christ, as the church, that anybody who interacts with us will find that we're at peace with God and we're living in peace with one another. You know what's caused more people to turn away from the church than anything else? Is to hear about all the arguing and the bickering and the fighting and the dividing and whatever of God's so-called people. We are to be one. One in heart, one in spirit, one in peace, one in purpose. We're here to glorify God and Him only. Peace. Romans 14:17 says, 14:17 of Romans, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is it? What is the kingdom of God? It's not eating and drinking. I know I love to eat. You do too, don't you? I love to have, I love my diet right. Well, I do diet right. Well, you guys are with me today. However, look at what it says. It's righteousness, peace, joy. Righteousness, that's what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. In the same chapter, Romans 14:19, he says, so then pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Can you imagine what that would do in our marriages today? Can you imagine what that would do in our government today? Huh? The only reason that there's not and won't be peace as far as the world is concerned, because people want and desire power. Well, let me remind you, Peace Corps, that all authority has been given to the head of the Peace Corps in heaven and on earth. You have none, neither do I. This is our authority. And this authority says we are to become peacemakers and to bring people into a right relationship with the Prince of Peace so they can be at peace with God and with themselves. That makes sense. The aspect of that, of course, is very clear. It's all volunteer. I know it is. But I know that Galatians 5 and 2, when Paul writes to the church there and talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, he said in Galatians 5 and 2, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace. You see, you can't have that kind of peace without having the love of God flowing in your heart through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings and creates and unites us in the joy of our Lord. The joy of our Lord that's within us and the hope that we have. This joy inexpressible and full of glory. What we have to look forward to and what we're living for is yet to come. Amen? And it's joy. That's what it is. It's joy. But it also is peace. Peace with God and peace with one another. And so if I'm going to show other people what it means to be a volunteer of the Peace Corps, how am I going to do that? What kind of life am I going to demonstrate to the world in which I live in, at work, at home, at the playhouse? It doesn't matter. School, you have a time frame where you can be and show what it means to be a member of Jesus' Peace Corps. Number one, it's an inner sense of quietness. I mean, the world isn't going to convince that you know Jesus, the Prince of Peace, if you're murmuring, grumbling, finding fault, running down your neighbor, on and on and on, on and on and on, on and on and on. We're going to see here in the Philippian letter, Paul said, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. It's a sense of being quiet inside. Inner peace. Isn't that right? Inner peace that you have because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, regardless of the circumstances. Regardless. How can you do that? Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Therefore, we can confidently say that God is our helper in time of need. Wow. Number two, it is a sense of contentment. How in the world do you live in the United States where everything and all of our economy is based on want me, want me, want me, want me, have me, have me, have me? When Jesus said life does not consist in the abundance of one's possession. But brother, we don't believe that in America. Materialism is eating up our homes, our family. Money is the number one thing that marriages argue over more than any other subject. You know that, don't you? 80% of arguing in the home is over money. Satan's done a good job, hasn't he? Huh? Hasn't he? You're blinding us that in possessions comes happiness? No, it doesn't. Because the more you have, the more you can't be content unless you're content, okay? And Paul says in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Man, that is the best medicine you can swallow this morning. If you're going to swallow a pill, I am content with how God and where I am and how God has blessed me. Number three, it is a steadfast confidence in a faithful God who is our Heavenly Father. It's a steadfast confidence in God. In God. Is that why Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast with confidence without wavering, for he who promised is what? Faithful. Faithful. It's important. We walk by faith, not by sight, people. And our faith is in God, not in our government, not in what we possess. It's in God. The Heavenly One, the one who created us, and the one who desires you to be at peace. with yourself, with Him, with one another. Number four, it is the presence of joy in the midst of trials, suffering, whatever it might be. Well, how do I know? Well, James 1:2 says, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Isn't attitude one of the most important elements of our individual lives? Huh? You know, it's not, oh, God, why me? No, it's God, whatever you're teaching me, wherever you're going to mature me, whatever and however you want to develop me, I'm going to face this trial because my faith is being tested. And through the testing and the refining, the purifying of my faith comes perseverance. Through that perseverance comes character. Comes character comes maturity. My granddad said over and over again, I'll never forget it, smooth seas don't make good sailors. Smooth seas don't make good Peace Corps people. It's the rough seas that mature us, people. It's the trials that mature us, develop us, that God refines our faith because our faith and our confidence is in Him, isn't it? He said He wouldn't leave us. He said He wouldn't allow us to be tried above what we can stand. He'll give us a way to endure. That is important for the people out there in the world to see it, that God is your answer, not a pill. Not that we don't have need for pills. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, anxiety is killing America. Number five, there's a spirit of endurance when you are indeed confronting hardship. Listen, Peace Corps, volunteers, listen. Are you listening? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 4. You know what it says? Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Now what it says? Then it says, let your gentle spirit be seen and known by all men. For the Lord is at hand. See the way the confidence is? Huh? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in prayer, supplication, accompanied with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And, are you listening? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Don't we need that? Don't we need God's peace guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ? Don't we need that? Anxiety, anxiety, and anxiety, and yet God says, be anxious for nothing. Be thankful. Come to God in prayer and thanksgiving and supplication and trust Him. And trust Him. He will guard your hearts and He will give you a peace that surpasses all comprehension. Anybody here experienced that? I'm sure you have. It's an unbelievable experience, people. Not only when you come to peace with yourself, but when you come to peace with your family, with people, with individuals, and you know you're living at peace with God. Justified by the blood of His Son. There are three keys, very quickly. Doesn't take long. Three keys that you and I need to share with the people out there that are in the world that have not joined, volunteered, and come a part of this Peace Corps. Number one is that you've got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Right? You've got to keep your eyes focused on God. It's an important element of all of our lives. We get so distracted. Some of us even have joined, put our hands to the plow, and we've looked back. But Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom if you look back. What is there back there that is so attractive that you've got to turn your head around and look back at what you left? Not what you left, it's where you're going. Colossians 3:1 says what? If you've been risen with Christ, set your mind on things above where Jesus sits on the right hand of God. Amen? That's important. Keep your focus. Because Isaiah 26:3 says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Be steadfast. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Know where you're going. Don't look to the right, to the left. Peter was fine when he was walking on the water. He kept his eyes on Jesus. What happened when he looked to the waves? Huh? Yeah, he sank, didn't he? No doubt about it. Number two, you must never doubt that God cares for you. And I hear it all the time. Has God left me? Doesn't God care? Doesn't God know? Doesn't God understand? I mean, on. Is God punishing me? Is God, I think God's left me. I think, well, you may let God, but God says I'll never leave you. Okay? You cannot doubt that God cares for you. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He what? Because He cares for you. God cares for what you're going through. I believe God has shed tears on our behalf over and over again because He hurts for His children. I don't think He's up there standing and just watching what's going on down here and not have emotions and feelings. He couldn't have stood there and watched His Son die for us the way He did and not have emotions and a feeling. You think it was easy for Him to forsake and to turn His back on His Son and know that His Son was going to cry out, "My God, why have You forsaken Me?" You don't think God has feelings? He cares for you. He hurts with you. That's why Jesus came down here, so He could become your great high priest and go before the Father and empathize. "God, I know what they're going through down there. It's a war. It's a battle. God cares, people. Don't you forget it. Remember, Jesus said, "My peace I will leave and give to you." Number three, you must meditate on this book. We're not spending time in the book. You can read your Reader's Digest and your home housekeepers. You can read all the books in the world you want to read. But this is the only book that has its authorship and its element of peace. This is it. Blessed is a man who meditates on this day and night. He'll be like a tree who's planted by the rivers of water, will bring forth his fruit in season. Whatever he does will prosper. You know what it says? And his leaves will not wither. If you don't love the book, you're going to have a hard time being a member of the Peace Corps. You got to love the book. You got to love what it says, what it teaches. You got to desire it like sincere milk, wanting it, desiring it, that you can grow by it. And you got to grow and grow so you can get off the meat, get onto the meat of the Word, and grow and mature and continue the process. Psalms 119:165 says, "Those who love Your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." What? Those who love the Word of God, love the commandments of God, love His Word, will have great peace. And they will not stumble. Those who love the Word. The truth is, Picor, there will be no peace again without Jesus Christ being known in the world in which we live in today. He is the Prince of Peace. The world offers no peace. There's no peace out there. You know that, don't you? How many people committed suicide today? How many alcoholics are being developed every day? How many young people are selling their lives to drugs and cocaine and whatever today? How many, whatever. I mean, it's all over the place out there. Lives are falling to pieces all over our country today, aren't they? Aren't they? This moral immorality that's such a generous part of our culture, I believe, started with Bill Clinton. Nothing was done, nothing was said. From the higher up, that example, that leaven, has leavened America. And that's become the focus of our country today. It really is. It really is. There must be no peace. There is no peace out there. No personal peace. Man, I talk to people all the time, even Christians, who haven't and cannot resolve their past, cannot resolve themselves, who they are, what they are, etc., etc. People, you died. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. Amen? The old man, the old person has been put to death. Jesus is the one who now lives in you. And Jesus, when He lives in you, brings peace. Peace with God and peace with yourself. You can't give to other people what you don't possess. We need a peace corps that's at peace with God and with themselves. The world's not going to give it to you. It's not there. the world falling apart all around us, right? Now let me just remind you, Peace Corps, that you and I, according to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, and if you will, verse 15, if we're to put on the full armor of God, the Bible says that you and I, as a member of the Peace Corps, are to have shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means that wherever you and I go, we are prepared. We have prepared ourselves to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We've prepared ourselves so our feet, wherever we go, we're taking the good news of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We're ready, we're prepared. So whenever opportunity comes to call and we're called in question of the hope that lies within us, we can give a response. It's Jesus. I'm not ashamed of that name. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? Preach the gospel. Listen, people. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When all of the broken dreams of people's lives today, He is the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. And when are you and I as a Peace Corps going to realize people out there need the Lord? Get your feet shod with the preparation. Get the gospel in your own heart. The gospel of peace. It's supposed to have brought peace between you and God and in your own heart. Take what you have. Take what you possess. Don't be ashamed of it. And share it with the world out there that needs it. Anyone and everyone that is not in Christ needs to hear the gospel. We are the Peace Corps. How are they going to hear if you and I don't follow what the Prince of Peace has commanded us to do? Go into all the world. Make disciples. Baptize them under the authority of His name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then continue the process of teaching them to observe everything that He has commanded. That's who we are. Amen? That's who we are. And we're living in a right time. Brother Virgil hit it on the nail Monday night. I mentioned it again last week in my sermon. The fields are white on the harvest, people. It is. People know they're lost. They know they have a need. They know they're not at peace. But they've never heard that there is a Prince of Peace whose name is Jesus Christ in such a way that they and the Holy Spirit can convict them of that. You don't convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment of God to come. You don't do it at all. All you and I do is preach the message. It's up to God from there on, right? And God can do His part if we just do ours. I got peace like a river. I'm sincere. I mean that. I stopped battling a long time ago because of all the experiences of my life. I realized that what you got to do is totally, completely die to your own desires, your own self, and commit yourself to become a peacemaker. Make peace. Make peace. I want to be known as the Son of God. And if I can help anyone, any individuals, to find peace within themselves, I believe that's in Jesus. If they're going to find peace in their homes and their families, I believe Jesus is the answer. I won't change my mind on that. I can't. Why? Because I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Let's say together, I have peace like a river. I have peace like a river. I have peace like a river. Okay? Because you know the Prince of Peace, right? So you're going to stand and sing it with me, all right? And how are you going to sing it? I got peace like a river. No, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. Sing it like you mean it, right? Peace Corps, let's stand and sing.